Blog Talk Radio.
Pray everybody has had a blessed week and that you are ready to eat from the word of the Most High on this evening. We are in the discipleship series, and tonight we are doing Let This Mind Be In You, which was also in HaMashiach or Christ. And so we want to look at discipleship from that standpoint of letting the same mind that was in Messiah be in us. We pray everybody is doing well on today. And that all is going well with everyone. I want to say greetings to those that are in Pal Talk and Blog Talk. on the internet in general. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ in the English. We're going to go ahead and we're going to sound the shofar first this evening. And we're going to usher in the presence of the Most High. Uncover your heads. We want to welcome you all out to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry, and happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. We greet those who are in North America, in South America, on the African continent, in the European theater, in the Far East, in the Middle East. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved. Okay, let us do our statement of faith on this evening, our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We just magnify you, Father. We glorify you today and we lift you up. We thank you for keeping us another week and for allowing us to stay in your grace, oh Father. Hallelujah. We thank you for your gift of salvation and redemption. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for providing for us and allowing us to be able to do for ourselves, Father. And we just want to honor you on your day, this your Shabbat. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways, and repent from our sins, and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel. Well, so, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. We acknowledge that we have done wickedly, and, Father, we are repenting from our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And, Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us as a people by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, turn your eyes and your ears back towards your people. Hear our supplications and our prayers. Incline your voice unto us. Father, deliver us from this captivity that you have placed us into. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you would call in Messiah, that they would come and obey your voice and walk in your way. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom on this evening, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray, amen and amen. All right, the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. Verses 46 through 53. 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 46 through 53. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near, yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land, whether they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely. We have committed wickedness. And so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. for thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance. As thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good. And Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. And let us play a couple of songs on today in reverence to the Most High.
Praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. I leave my hands in praise. Somebody lift those hands. Praise is who I am. I will praise him while I can. I'll bless him at all times. I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. My testimony in all that I go through. Somebody said why. I said because praise is what I do. Praise is who I am. I will praise the Lord.
Darkness, my God, never stop working. You'll never stop. You'll never stop working.
The book of Philippians, the book of Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to be getting verses 3 through 5, actually about 3 through 11. The book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind that each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be also in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, or Yeshua HaMashiach, who being in the form of Elohim, thought it not robbery to be equal with Elohim, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore Elohim also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua HaMashiach every knee should bow, and of the things in heaven, in the heavens, and the things in the earth, and the things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yeshua HaMashiach is Yah, to the glory of Elohim the Father. Wherefore, beloved, as you have always obey, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So in these verses we read that as being a disciple of HaMashiach, that we are to work out, number one, our own salvation, but we are to let the mind that was in Mashiach be in us. That we are striving to become like him. And he thought it not robbery to be equal with the Most High. He was the Most High. But he said, let this mind also be with you. Did ye not know that ye are God? And the scripture cannot be broken. But you have to act accordingly, and you have to act with the mind of Christ. Or else you might become puffed up if we don't do what's said in verses 7. But made himself of no reputation, and took on the form of a servant. Messiah came to be the servant and not the king. He came to serve his fellow man and really to serve his creation and to be an example to us as to how we should treat one another and how we should look at one another and how we should look at the Most High. And so we want this mind that he had to be in us, that we humble ourselves, that we understand who we are as the children of the Most High, because a lot of times when people find out who they are, especially like, let's say we understand that we are Hebrew Israelites, then we become puffed up. We're the people of the book. We're the people the Most High chose. But he wants us to be humble. He wants us to take on the form of a servant, to serve one another, to look out for each other's best interests before our own. And as you know, said many times, I look out for yours, you look out for mine. If we're doing that, then we can't be out to hurt each other. And be obedient, even unto death. So verse 8, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So not only did he become obedient to death, the act of dying, but it was the way that he died, the violent and vicious way that he died. He humbled himself and took it. And so there's nothing really short of that cross that this world can throw at us that could compare to that. And so when it's for the kingdom's sake and for the sake of our brother and our sister, that we are willing to even lay down our lives, to give ourselves to that degree. This is what he wants, the same mind, that we so love our brother and our sister that we would lay down our lives for them if necessary, that we would look out for their best interest at all times over our own. And then we pray that they are what? Like mind, that we are of one mind, thinking the same way about each other, so that we can be like Messiah and give ourselves for each other. Wherefore, Elohim has highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, because he humbled himself and became that servant. This is what the Most High is looking for in all of us, and he will exalt us. He will raise us up, not just from the dead, but also in status. He will put us in positions of authority. He will make us kings and priests in the world to come. If we humble ourselves here now and get the mind of a servant now, because, you know, everybody wants that crown, but they want that crown of the king, but this is a kingdom of servant kings. A kingdom of servant kings. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And we're going to get verses 1 through 7 or 8. One through nine. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. You know, the thing with the sacrifices was simply this. It's like with everything, mankind becomes thick-skinned, he becomes callous, he becomes insensitive. And so if he could kill a, you know, if he could sin and kill an animal and the animal paid the price for his sin, then there was really no clearing of his conscience. There was no real reason for him to stop sinning. He'd just go kill another animal. And so he could never come to perfection that way because the mindset wasn't right. For then would they not have ceased to be offered if the sacrifices could have brought about a clear conscience and a perfect man? It would have continued to be offered because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sin. But they killed an animal, something died for them. The truth of the matter is they became callous about it too, though, thick-skinned. And so to just, you know, I sin, I'll go get another sacrifice. But we know that if everything was being done correctly in the way that the Most High said to do it, then the priest should have been looking into why did the person sin and was it something intentional and not just allowing him to bring a sacrifice because the priest wasn't supposed to atone for willful sin, for presumptuous sin. But, you know, the thing was people just were bringing sacrifices. And they weren't getting their conscience purged. It was actually doing the opposite. You know, it was reinforcing, you know, this is all I got to do. And so I'll go sin again and just bring this animal. And ain't no sweat off of my back. I just got to take the time to bring this sacrifice. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sin every year. So when the high, now this is talking about on the Day of Atonement. The high priest would have to go in and make an atonement for all of Israel. But then that atonement also was a reminder that you were a sinner. Okay, just the fact of having to do the sacrifice itself and atone would be a reminder that you are a sinner. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. This was an interest payment. So if you've ever had a house note or a car note and you fell behind on your payment, you could make the interest payment, not the principal. So you wouldn't pay the principal and the interest. You would just say, I'm behind, I'm going to make an interest payment. And they will consider you current because you paid what was owed on it, but you didn't pay on the principal. And so that part of it would just be tacked on to the end, and that interest, unfortunately, would be added back on as well. But they would consider you current for that month so that you still had an interest in keeping the house or the car. You know, so you were doing your best. For the Most High allowed the same concept with the animals. He allowed us to make an animal sacrifice, and it would be an interest payment, but it wouldn't pay the principal. It wouldn't pay for our sin. It would just sort of cover it for that time period. But the debt would not be paid off. And besides that, the blood of an animal is not equal to the blood of a man. And a man sinned against the Most High. So in order for the debt to be paid in full, the Most High required the blood of a man. So these animal sins, these animal sacrifices could never take away sin. it can only, you know, kick the can down the road. The Most High said, okay, I'm going to make atonement for you this year. And that's how long that animal sacrifice is going to last. And you got to come back and do it again next year. Or if you sin in between, you come and bring a sacrifice, you know, for your own self. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, Messiah, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. I didn't want those animal sacrifices. But a body hast thou prepared for me. I don't want you to go down there and make sacrifices. I don't want to come into the world making sacrifices. They don't satisfy what I'm looking for. I want to pay this debt off. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Remember, the Most High said that some of the sacrifices were a sweet smell in his nostril. But when it was for sin, it gave him no pleasure at all. It was corrupt. It was, you know, the animals were made for his pleasure too. And the smell of their blood and their fat burning on the altar is a sweet smell to him, but not when it's for sin. And so he never, ever wanted those sacrifices for sin. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O Elohim. And above, when he said sacrifices and offerings, and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O Elohim. He taketh away the first, the sacrifices of the law, that he may establish the second, that everybody would come to him and be forgiven of their sins through him. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua HaMashiach once for all. Now, it doesn't say once and for all. It says once for all. He died one time for all sinners. But he didn't die one time for all your sins. Because once you come to him, if you committed willful sin, he says, hey, there really was no blood for that to begin with. You just willfully being disobedient. You know you're doing wrong and you just don't still do it. But ignorant sin, he always said you could bring to him. But then when he came and died on the cross, he says, okay, I'm extending grace to you one time. And that one time you can come and you can confess your sins to me. And I will forgive you your willful and your ignorant sins. All your sins up until that point, you got a clean slate. And so Messiah's mind was always to do the will of the Most High. To not sin, to do what the Most High wanted done. That was his example to us. Ask the Father, pray continually. The Father's will was that he come and that he serve his brethren. Since I want you to serve your brethren, I want you to look out for the good of your brothers and your sisters. I want you to put them before yourself. Be that servant. Let that mind be in you. Be humble, as Messiah was humble, as he gave himself for us. And understand that the Most High, if we are in sin, think about this. The blood of the bulls and the goats, when it was for sin, it dirty or it tainted the sacrifice. And the Most High said, that's not for my pleasure. That's to get you out of trouble. That's not for my pleasure. That's for you. To get you out of trouble. Now, when we come to him and we offer ourselves that living sacrifice and we are defiled, we have not been leading a wholesome life. We have not been leading a sinless life. Because he says we can be sinless. The thing is, you got to want to be sinless. You got to strive to be sinless. All have sinned, and this is true. That don't mean that all have to continue to sin. And this is where I think we fall down at. We fall short. Because we want to make the excuse that it's okay to sin. And he will forgive us. But it's not okay to sin. Especially when we know what we're doing. That is definitely not okay. So what we don't know, he will deal with that. What we do know, he says, I'm going to deal with that too, but not the way you want me to. And so we should not be deceived. Verse 11. And every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Yeshua HaMashiach, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of Elohim, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Whereof, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sought. So we got to understand that we can't just willfully come out of sanctification. Can't willfully do that. The blood of Messiah will cover you forever as long as it's ignorant. But when we willfully do it, then people will take these verses and say, oh, he did it forever, for all my sins forever. So the Most High he's not going to be mocked and he's not foolish. And so we have to have this mindset, you know, if we went and bailed our brother out of jail or our sister out of jail for whatever reason, and what we bailed them out for, you know, it cost us our all. And we're going to say our all in this case is everything we got. We're not going to say it cost us our life because then we wouldn't be able to tell what happened afterwards. But let's say it cost us our all. We had a house, a car. We went and mortgaged our house, and we stole our car to get this person out of jail. And they acted like they were so thankful. And then the very next weekend, they did the same thing and got right back into jail, got right back into the situation that you got them out of, and now you can't help them because you gave your all. You have nothing left to give. You have nothing left to give. And so how would you think about that? How would you feel about that if they did that to you? This is what we do to Messiah when we willfully sin. He gave us all, and then we're going to turn around and go do something else to get right back in the same condition that he paid the price for. Okay. Verse 14. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith Yah. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Yeshua. Having therefore boldness to enter into the cleanness, the cleanliness, the cleanest, the most sanctified. So, do you really think that you could walk into the Holy of Holies and you've been willfully sinning and saying, I'm good because the blood of Messiah covers me? And he looks at you and say, friend, how did you get up in here with all that dirt on your wedding garment? How did you get up in here? How would you even dare to come dressed like that? How would you be so bold? You're going to go before the Most High, the highest being that there is, the most powerful, the most everything, the Most High. And you're going to go before him, and you were provided a new garment, clean and spotless, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, provided by Messiah. And then you're going to go back out and get it dirty, get it wrinkled. And then be bold enough to step into the holiest of holies. No, that's not the mind of Christ. It's not the mind of Mashiach. Mashiach never got dirty. So he's going to be looking, he's like, didn't I clean you up? Didn't I make you like me without spot or blemish? Verse 20. By a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Messiah's flesh was ripped for you. His flesh, as I taught during Tabernacles, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, met Israel in the tabernacle, in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. And that's where they had to go meet the Most High. When Messiah came in flesh, when the Most High came in flesh, he says, I'm no longer going to meet you in that temple. I'm no longer going to meet you at the sanctuary. I'm not going to meet you in the Holy of Holies. I am in this flesh. And when this flesh was ripped, I ripped the veil of the curtain of the Holy of Holies in two, signifying that it was no longer sanctified. And you could not find me there any longer. But you're going to find me through the flesh of Mashiach, the living tabernacle, the living sanctuary, the living temple. And then I was going to pour my spirit into you. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Ruach HaKodesh? We are the walking and living and breathing temples of the Most High. It is in us that he dwells in, or supposed to. Supposed to be dwelling in us. And we are the sanctuary. So Messiah's flesh was torn for us, that we might receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Most High. He says, now I release myself from the tabernacle, from the Holy of Holies, from the temple, and now I'm releasing myself from this flesh, and I'm going to dwell in you. And I want you to humble yourself. I want you to do my will. I want to walk in you. I want to reach out to all of my other citizens through you. Let this mind be in you. That I am the temple of the Most High. He dwells in me. Think about that. The Most High dwelling in you. Surely you wouldn't want to be doing any and everything if you understood who's in you. Surely you wouldn't want to be acting all kind of crazy ways if you understood who's in you. And in thinking that it's okay. And having a high priest over the house of Elohim, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Encourage us to do the right thing, to walk in his way, to provoke each other to love one another. As the Most High wants to love us, those that love him. Let's go back to, just a second here. Let's go back to Philippians chapter, let's go back to 3. Philippians chapter 3. And let's start in verse 1. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in Yah, to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. Now, let's look at this word concision. That word is kataomi, from a compound, a cutting down, mutilation. So it says compare G609, to amputate. So beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, the cutting off. Okay. For we are the circumcision, which worship Elohim in spirit, and rejoice in Yeshua HaMashiach and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisees. Paul is telling you, hey, if you're going to go according to the flesh, these are my qualifications. But you don't count yourself of the flesh. Circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, a lawyer. I know my stuff. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, I was very zealous in keeping the laws of the Most High and trying to make sure everybody else did it. And I persecuted the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss of Christ? I counted it loss because it was really glorifying me. And it was not elevating the Most High or Mashiach. It was not bringing people to salvation. It was not showing the power and the wisdom of the Most High unto salvation. I was just persecuting people, trying to make them conform to the law when they got to do that on their own. So I was being a good policeman. And I was charging people with stuff and having them court-martialed and all this kind of stuff. Having them taken to court, found guilty, beaten, some killed. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Yeshua HaMashiach, my master, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And do count them but dung. All that stuff is but doo-doo. If I was more worldly, I would use the S word. But I can't do that and speak and be talking about the Most High at the same time. Well, he says, that's dung. All that stuff. All that worldly stuff that I was doing for myself, I count it now as dung, doo-doo, that I may win Christ, that I may win HaMashiach, and be found in him not having my own righteousness. That's what he's talking about as dung, circumcised on the eighth day, Israelite of the tribe of Benjamin. A lawyer, a Hebrew of Hebrews, and as concerning the law, a Pharisee, a lawyer. All that was for my own righteousness, that I might appear right before men, that I might appear to be something before men. But I count that all as dung now. All those titles, all that status, getting to sit at the best chair, getting to, you know, speak and to study with the best lawyers. I studied at the feet of Gamaliel, the best lawyer in Israel. I count all that stuff as dung. Just something to flush down the toilet. And be found in him not having my own righteousness. I want the righteousness of Christ, of Yeshua, Mashiach, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of Elohim by faith. believing, you know, if you think that all you got to do is keep the law, but you really have no faith in what Mashiach did or what the Most High is doing, then you're really counting on your own work. I keep the Sabbath. I keep the feast days. I give to the poor. I do all these things, and yet you are still in your sin. And in your own self-righteousness. But by faith in Mashiach, we keep the law. By faith in Mashiach, we live holy. We don't want what he did to be tainted. We don't want it to be spat on. We don't want to treat it as something unholy. Our faith in him. And this is what the whole church has to be doing. They say by their faith they are saved, but by their faith they should be keeping the law. They should not be offending HaMashiach. They should not be going back and undoing what he did for them. Because it is not once saved, always saved. If that was the case, he could have stopped back then and said, okay, I died once and for all, y'all, for everything you ever going to do, everything you could think you were going to do, and let's just call it a day. Come on into the kingdom. Because no matter what you did or going to do, I've already forgiven you. That's not what he said, and that's not what he's done. By our faith in him, by our faith in what he's done, we should be, number one, appreciative, very grateful what he did for us. And then we shouldn't be of the mind that, you know, it's okay if we go back and undo what he did. So we got to have this mind in us that we don't want to transgress. We refuse to transgress. And if we do, it's going to be because we did it out of ignorance. Out of ignorance. Verse 10, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him, Mashiach, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Messiah came to give his life, came to serve unto death. And we are supposed to be like-minded. That we are willing to serve the Most High unto death. We are willing to do whatever it is that it's going to take to please him. If he calls for it. If by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul is saying, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to obtain the resurrection. If it means the giving of my life, if it means giving up everything of this world, that's what I have done. I count all that stuff, all that status, everything in this world, I count it as dung. And this is what Messiah counted it as, dung. He sought to show us to please the Father only. Do whatever the Father says. Don't worry about the cares of this world. Don't worry about the status symbols. And don't worry about, you know, what you can obtain. Don't worry about those things. It's not important. But the world tells us all these things are important. You know, what you have and what you can get and what title you have and how people address you and what they call you and what they will give to you. What power and authority men will give unto you to do their bidding, really. You might think that it's the bidding of the Most High, but you're really doing it for your own self-righteousness and to be seen. And it's what Paul realized about himself. He says, I count all that stuff as doo-doo, as dumb. It's nothing. And we got to have the same mind. Can't be looking for, you know, the accolades and the applause of men, the compliments of men. We got to be looking for the compliments and the accolades of the Most High and what he wants. And this is what Mashiach, this is what the mind of Mashiach was. I come to do thy will. What is it that you want me to do? Oh, man, that one's hard. And I know what they're going to do to me. Sure, there's not another way we can do this? If not, I'm going to do what you want me to do, but you sure there's not another way? If not, okay, I'm going to be obedient. That mind. I think a lot of the times, maybe, is that we don't know what the will of the Most High is for us. Maybe we don't know what we ought to be doing. Maybe that may be it sometimes. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also I am apprehended up of Mashiach. He is a servant of Mashiach for the glory of the Most High. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or obtained, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. We got to always, just like I said, you know, and I'll say it again here so we can understand this mindset. When I realized that I had willfully sinned, had been taught to willfully sin, and had willfully sinned before the Most High, and had treated the blood of Mashiach as something unholy, that's what the scripture says, and that I was guilty of that, then the only thing I could do is repent of that and beg the Most High not to impute my sins against me, and that I would serve him with everything that I am from that point forward, and I would not intentionally, willfully sin after that, because I know the truth. And this is what Paul is saying. And so I tell you, I don't know if the Most High is going to say enter in or not. Not that I have apprehended or obtained the kingdom, salvation. And Paul is saying the same thing. But I look forward. That's all I can do, is look forward and do everything I can to please the Most High from that point forward. And pray that I obtain, that I apprehend the kingdom, that I apprehend and obtain the status in which Mashiach is calling us to. I press forward. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Elohim and Yeshua HaMashiach. The high calling, the high standard, it's a high bar. I don't know where we get it from that, you know, Messiah or the Most High lowered his standards and that, you know, yeah, we were a wretch, undone. And he saw fit to lean down and pull us up out of the muck and the mire, out of the mud and the dirt and the filth and the doo-doo. Pull us up out of that. Why would we ever, ever want to test him? Test his resolve. Most High, you ain't going to really send me to the lake, are you? Why would we ever want to test him? Why would we not want to press toward the high mark in the calling in Mashiach? It's a high mark. It's not a low one. And so we want to say, oh, you know, as long as I try, I'm good. What in this life do you know that if sometime your all sometime your all is not even good enough, depending upon, you know, what it is you're going for. I tried. I gave it my all. But, you know, I didn't obtain it. I wasn't successful because I wasn't prepared enough. It just wasn't for me. Whatever the case may be, the Most High has called us in Mashiach to a high calling, a high standard. That's why, you know, I say those things and then it keeps coming back to me. Consider the cost. What is it going to take for me to reach this high calling? What is it going to take for me to reach that mark? What do I really have to do? Most High, show me. Let me know everything that I got to do so I know what I got to do so I can do it. Because sometimes I don't think we know. Sometimes I think we're going through the motions, thinking we're doing, you know, the right thing, but then not really, really understanding and realizing who it is we're serving and that he don't have low standards. He's not reaching down and pulling you up out of that muck for you to stay there, for you to stay at that level. But he wants you to come up. He wants you to be better. He wants you to do more than you have to do. I want your all. I want your all. So I press toward the mark of the prize. For the prize of the high calling of Elohim and Yeshua HaMashiach. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Be perfect. Don't tell yourself you can't be perfect. Don't tell yourself that ain't nobody perfect, because that's who he's looking for. And if you tell yourself you can't, then you won't be, because you're not going to hold yourself to a perfect standard. You're not going to hold yourself to the standard. From the very beginning, you have been a self-fulfilling prophecy of yourself. I'm not going to be perfect. Nobody is perfect. I'm not going to try to be perfect. When he's telling you, be perfect. The Most High said, be perfect. Be ye perfect, for I am perfect. Be ye holy. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. Be ye holy, for I am holy. So we can never say, not if we want to make it. if you tell yourself that you can't be number one, if you tell yourself that you can't win the race, and I'm not talking about just finish the race, because he tells you to run the race to win it. Run the race to win the race. Run the race to come in first place. Run the race to finish it. That's a mentality of, oh, well, I just get by. At least I made it in. Maybe. What if the Most High says, you know what, I'm only taking first, second, and third place. Everybody else, y'all lost. You didn't meet the bar. What if he said that? So we're not being told these things just to be told them. We're being told them because this is the mentality that he wants us to have. Don't just run the race to stay in the race. Run the race as though you are trying to come in first place. Give your best. Do your hardest. Put all your effort into it. 100%. Don't just show up for work, but show up for work and you're going to be the best. Don't just enter in just to get in, because you're probably going to fall short. I think that's what he's telling us. If we don't strive for perfection, we're probably going to miss the mark of the high calling in Christ, of the high calling in Mashiach. Probably going to miss the mark of that calling. Probably going to fall short and find ourselves going where we don't want to go. Because we think it's okay not to be strive for perfection. Excuse me. We think it's okay. Nobody's perfect. Nobody may not be perfect, but you better be trying with everything that you have that you are to be. Let's read that verse again. Let us. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, Elohim shall reveal even this unto you. So let us be perfect. And be of that mind. Let this mind be in you. Do you think Mashiach, in his mind, was to be imperfect? You know, it's okay. Let me go ahead and sin. A little bit of sin won't disqualify me from being the Lamb of the Most High. A little bit of sin won't stop me from paying the price for everyone. A little bit of sin won't disqualify me. What if he had that mind? What if he had that mindset and said, you know what? Mary, you sure looking fine. Adam got himself into this trouble. Let Adam get himself out. What if he didn't strive for perfection? Where would you and I be? We would be in a world without hope. We would be in a world where you live and you die. And so you better enjoy every second that you're here, because there is nothing after that for you. We would have no hope. What if he didn't have the mind to be perfect? And we're told to let this mind be in you, which was also in Mashiach. So do you really think that Mashiach had the mind that it's okay if I'm imperfect? It's okay if I don't walk always the right way? It's okay if I don't always try to do the Father's will? That's okay. It's all right if I do my own thing sometimes, and then when I'm ready to, I can do the will of the Father. That's not what we're supposed to be about. That's not what we're supposed to be striving for. That is not the mind of Mashiach. It's not the mind of Christ. Verse 14 and 15 again. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Elohim in Christ. It's a high calling to be his disciple. You got to be willing to give up everything to be his disciple, to qualify, to get into his kingdom, to become part of his body. Can't just be walking however we want to walk. Can't just be giving him whatever we just want to give him. Because I want you all. I want perfection from you. And Paul just said, if you're otherwise minded, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, and if in anything you be otherwise minded than to be perfect, Elohim shall reveal even this unto you. So whatever it is that you're trying not to be perfect in, because you don't want to be perfect in that, whatever it is that you want to keep on doing that you know is outside of his will because you want to keep on doing it, he'll bring it to your remembrance. And then you know that when he brings it to you, it's going to be a conviction. I need to change this. I need to strive for perfection. Be ye perfect. Be ye holy. That was the mind that was in Messiah. And thank Elohim that he had that mind. Thank Elohim, because if he didn't, where would we be? Let's go get another verse. Let's see. Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. And let's start in verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's start in verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. We're trying to be like him. We're striving to achieve what the Most High wants. And you got to have this mind in you. It has to be in your mind to want to be this way. I think the opposite is true a lot of times. A lot of times we don't want to be holy. I think a lot of times it's offensive to some people. It's actually offensive. I ain't got to be that good. Yes, you do. It's commandment that you do. You want to belong to the Most High? You want to belong to Mashiach? He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Why am I going to have anything to do with something unholy? I'm the holiest of holiest. And I'm telling you to be holy. And then you don't want to be? Then why should I have anything to do with you? Most High says, I'm so clean. I'm cleaner than clean. Clean don't hold a candle to me. I'm so holy. I'm the holy of holy. And then I'm telling you to be holy, and you're saying no? Think about that. That's the high calling that is in Christ. That's the mark of the high calling. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Let this mind be in you. As his disciple, I want to be like you, Most High. I want to be your child. I want to be your favorite child. I want to be that one. You say, have you considered my servant Job? You know, it's something else when the Most High calls you out. And the Most High says, look at that one right there. I, the Most High, am proud of him. Look at his walk. Look at his talk. Look at how he serves me. Then Satan says, well, they're only serving you. He only served you that way because you blessed him. You give him favor. But the truth of the matter is, Job was serving the Most High with everything he had. The devil had to take everything and attack him in his body, everything short of killing him, to get him to question his walk. How much has been taken from you and I? How much have you lost? Did the Most High allow Satan to take all your children or all your family? Take all your money. all your possessions, your health. Ain't nothing going right for you, period. It's so bad that you cursed the day you were born. I wish I had never been born. That's how bad this life is. How have you been tested? And yet and still, your faith is questionable, and you haven't had none of this to this degree to affect you? Really, you've been blessed. And not even really giving thanks to the one that has blessed you. And not serving him the way that he says to serve him. Be ye holy. You ain't got nothing preventing it. You're not on your sick bed, full of sores, pus leaking out of you, can't move. You're not so broke that you're out on the street with a sign, for real, will work for food. I'm not talking about those people out there conning, and I'm talking about those ones that are seriously, that's where they are at. Blessed. And still have a problem doing what the Most High says that he wants out of you. Be ye holy. For I am holy. Let this mind be in you. Be ye a servant. Think on others more than yourself. As Mashiach did, even unto what? The giving of his life. Let this mind be in you. But we got to understand that this was the mind of Mashiach. He wasn't trying to be unholy. He wasn't running around breaking the commandments. He wasn't running around doing what he wanted to do. I'm here to be the example. I'm here to show you that it is possible for you to be holy. It is possible for you to be perfect. You have to want it. You have to have that mindset. It has to be in your mind. If it's not in your mind, if the thought hasn't even been conceived in your mind to be ye holy, you cannot be holy. You will not be holy. And if we already got a defeatist attitude, I can't be holy, then you have already written your own script. And you have already signed your own fate. Your own fate. Where are you going to end up at? Because you've already co-signed yourself to failure. Failure is not an option in this walk. It's not an option. Paul is trying to tell you, when you run the race, run to come in first. Because failure is not an option. And if you run the race to run other than to come in first, you're probably not going to meet the mark. Let that mind be in you, which was also in Yeshua HaMashiach, in Christ, to come in first. I'm preeminent in everything. I'm first in everything. Mashiach don't do anything to come in second. nothing that he does. He said, I'm preeminent in everything. I'm first in everything. Let that mind be in you. Especially concerning your walk with the Most High. Well, I'm just trying to make it in. Paul said, don't you run that race that way. You better run the race to obtain the prize. The prize is first place. That's how you better run this race. To obtain the prize, to obtain first place. Don't be running the race just to get in. Because you will fall far short. And then when you find yourself in that hot, sweaty line going to the lake, you'll be like, I should have did more, but it's going to be too late. I should have did more. I could have gave my all, but I didn't. I should have given my all. I should have strived to be more like Messiah. I should have made it a priority. You don't want to wait until late. You don't want to wait until you can't do anything. You can't give anything. You can't serve anymore. The Most High says, let this mind be in you. That was also in Mashiach. I am so, so thankful that Messiah did not give us his second best. Because I shudder to think where we would be right now. Nobody would be safe. Nobody would have any moral. We would be like this. Hold on a second. Let me get this verse. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6. The book of Genesis chapter 6. And let's get verse 5. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Because this is the way we would be without Mashiach. This is the way we would be without hope. This is the way we would be if the Most High hadn't loved us. And Elohim saw the wickedness of man, that we would truly be wicked, was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. Only evil continually. Could you imagine living in a world like that? Where everybody around you and yourself, all you do is think of evil, what you can do to somebody, what you can get from somebody. Scheming to take, scheming to hurt. Having to look over your shoulder, even in your own house. because your children's thoughts are evil. Your husband's thoughts are evil. Your wife's thoughts are evil. Your neighbor's thoughts are evil. Everybody's thoughts are evil. Only evil, because that's what it says. Only evil. Never any good. Never looking out for anybody other than yourself. Everybody looking out for their own and what they can take from somebody else, or they feel like everybody's out to get them, and everybody is out to get them. So it's not just a fantasy. It's not just a figment of their imagination. Everybody's thoughts are only evil. Continually. Day in and day out. Week in and week out. Month in and month out. Year in and year out. Continually evil. Could you imagine that? So the Most High said, I got to destroy it. Ain't no good in this at all. I see one piece of dust that is useful. I got to destroy the rest of it. And if Messiah wasn't obedient, if he wasn't striving for perfection, if that wasn't in his mind, you know, yeah, I just want to come into the world, but I ain't got no intentions for dying for y'all. Y'all can forget that. Thank the Most High that that was not his mindset. Because this is what we would be suffering. Evil and only evil. Continually. That's man's nature. That is man's nature. When we want to consider ourselves to be good, we want to, you know, but what we define as good, the Most High says is evil. Let us bow our heads. Father, help us. Help us to get your mindset. Help us to have the mind of Christ, of Mashiach. Help us to obtain what we are seeking after. Put it before us continually. Show us where we fall short. Convict us that we would do better, that we would feel so guilty that we would have no choice but to do better. Help us to be loving and kind servants one to another. Help us to strive for perfection. We need your help, and we cannot do it without you. It is impossible. We need you, Father. We need your help. Help us to obtain the high mark in Christ, the high mark in Yeshua HaMashiach. Help us to be perfect. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let this mind be in you that was also in Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. This is what we're supposed to be striving for. This is what we have to strive for. This is what it is to be his disciple, is to be like him, to have his mind. Let us walk in his ways. On tomorrow morning, we will continue in discipleship. We will be coming from the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. And the reference verse will be Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. We will start there. We want to have the mind of Christ, of Mashiach. And we want to walk in him. We want to be rooted and built up in him. We want to be established in him, in faith. We want to be his disciple. We want to qualify. Because it's only his disciples that are going to be part of his body. Only his disciples. And that's a high calling. It's a high mark. It's not a low bar to reach. It's going to take your all, everything that you have. You have to be committed to him. We work to make ourselves happy in this world. When he said no, this world is fleeting. You're only here for a moment. Better make that moment count. Better make it count. Because when your call is made and when you're called home, after that, it is once appointed a man to die and then the judgment. So we have to get it right while we are here, while we have the opportunity. We have to get it right. I don't know about you. Can't speak for you. But I can speak for me. I don't want to fall short. I don't want to be a reprobate. I don't want to be a reject. I don't want to be one of those ones who says, well, you could have. I called you. But you wouldn't do what I asked you to do. And you didn't love me enough to give me your all. I don't want to be that one. Each and every one of us have to decide that for ourselves. I don't want to be that one, though. So I pray on tomorrow morning that we are all able to attend. We will be doing Colossians chapter 6, I mean Colossians chapter 2, 3, and we'll see how far we get in our discipleship. And we got a little bit ways still to go, but we're going to finish this up so we have a complete series on discipleship and what it takes. Let this mind be in you. I want each and every one of us to consider, what if Mashiach didn't give his all? What if he wasn't willing to die for you? What if he wasn't willing to pay the price? What if he wasn't willing to walk perfect? Where would you and I be? Where would you be? Where would you be? Consider that. That being said, may the Most High encampus angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really, really do. I love you. But my love does not compare to the love of the Most High. Can't love you like he loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody into. But he does. Fear him. Keep his commandments. Walk in his ways and obey his voice. That is your whole duty. That is my whole duty. Shalom, family. Happy Sabbath.
Without you, there's no need. I need a